It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the RBN Network here from Phoenix, Arizona, out of the beautiful Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com studios. Now, there are some things happened this weekend that I want to make sure you guys know about. I want to make sure you guys have an understanding of our understanding. As we talk, I want to give you not necessarily my sense of doom or anything. I mean, we're trying to, we're one day closer to freedom. We are marching towards a day on the other side of this thing to where we're going to be a lot. Freedom doesn't come in increments. Tyranny does. Freedom comes in big, giant, humongous, we took it chunks. It keeps going round and round. It comes back to, that's why they call it revolution. There are as bad, I remember there was a line in the movie Terms of Endearment with Shirley MacLaine and Jack Nicholson, and I can't remember the girl's name, the daughter that played, but she was saying, the daughter was talking about, having children and a family and all that, and she's all, doom and gloom kind of thing, and she was saying, as bad as you thought it could get, a year later you wish it was only 10 times that bad. And that's kind of the feeling that I get. I never forgot that line or something like that. Because as bad as I think it can get, I mean, you go, wow, I wish it was only 10 times that bad. It's so much worse. But I've also been saying for a long time, since the 90s, I'm going, can we hurry up and get to a police state so that we'll want to leave? And it has to get, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I got a lot of evidence. But, a lot of people will say, no, not until what? And they'll set a line, and then they'll keep moving the line. I'll give you an example. They'll go, well, until you have, guys, just arresting you for no reason, or putting you in jail for little offenses, or this or that. And finally get up to, well, until you have armed men on street corners, regulating your movement. Well, then, until then, you're not really in a police state. And I give you the G20. So I'm going, what? I go, okay, so what's your new criteria now? Because they don't see the immediacy on their own personal life. But when you're in a police state, sooner or later, everybody's ox gets gored. And I tell you where they got it. It was financially. Anyone that played in the system, played by the rules, did what they were supposed to, they come on television and talk about stock market, this, that, so on, as if that was the free market, as if that was the economy. You had Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations and, the seen and the unseen economy, the unseen hand. And what he was trying to portray is that whatever the king keeps track of, whatever they're writing down as the economy, whatever they're writing down as what's important is insignificant compared to the free trade and minds interacting with each other. That's totally not even on the books. It can't be on the books. Well, we had a nice meeting, a very informative meeting at the Arizona Breakfast Club Saturday, and I want to share what we learned at that day, and I you're going to be concerned, and you need to be. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And less conversation, the more action needs. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. Little more brain, a little less spark, a little less brain, a little more spark. Throw your mouth and open up your heart, and baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Got a little bit of Elvis there. Elvis, I like Elvis. Elvis good. You know where that song came from? I remember I hadn't heard that version. That's a remix, of course. But what happened there during the Revolution, the Ron Paul Revolution, making all these signs and everything, one of the early towns that really picked it up, and they wanted to make sure we knew about it. Ooh, we're having fun here in Memphis. And it was typical of what always happened. There would be somebody, some young guys and families and couples and friends, and they go, we want to make signs. We want to do the revolution signs. Well, of course, they had meetups and some, you know, ex-Republican party wannabe guy going, oh, no, you can't do that. That's not traditional. You got to, you know, whatever. And they go, yeah, it's all very interesting. We're going to do it anyway. So they went ahead and did it. They made a video, and he goes, yeah, we got together and we decided two things. We're going to join the Ron Paul Revolution, and we're going to do it Memphis style, which means Elvis Presley and iced tea. So they did. They made it, got all kinds of attention and media. They blanketed the city, and it was very successful. And I saw that happen over and over and over. There was no order to this chaos. Well, that's not true. There was order out of chaos. See, that's one thing a lot of people, they had not experienced it. We just watched the For Liberty movie again last night. I saw it once last week when it first got out last weekend. We could go Saturday. They sent me a copy of it. For Liberty. It's a documentary on the Ron Paul Revolution. Did a great job. Great job. I mean, I don't know how they could have done it better. You know, we supplied, I don't know, 20 hours of material that we had from the beginning, because they didn't have a lot of the early stuff. But there was so much more to this, a lot of stuff that I didn't even know about. I mean, I kind of knew different players and people doing different things, but they wove it all together. They did a great job. And one thing that was in there that one of the gentlemen that later ran for Congress, he goes, you know, I'm in computers and I understand, chaos, and I understand, you know, you got to be regimented. I understand you can't have central planning for a lot of things. And I've, you know, like Wikipedia kind of stuff and it just kind of, but I never experienced it firsthand, the spontaneous order. Never saw it. And here it was. You just had a common goal and people, boom, came together. There has been an effort to suppress that very thing. They have to. They have to stop there being any kind of a organized opposition to whatever they're doing to us. And I get all kinds of conspiratorial, whatever. But, you know, there's bad guys. Or those won't be left alone. Those won't leave them alone. I mean, it's no more complicated than that. They got all kinds of reasons why they won't leave you alone. Usually they want your, you know, money. You know, but it's more than that. It's power. It's control. You know, a lot of times they just got a big empty hole in them that they can't fill. They can't hurt enough. They can't kill enough. They can't have enough to fill it. They just can't. You know, it's the action of taking that is their drug. It's not accumulating. It's taking. Now, for good people, you know, accumulating is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, hey, you know, I do a good thing, and oh, guess what? I got a whole bunch of stuff over here. Well, that's cool. You know, how much do I need? Yeah, I need what I need, and I need a little extra. I need for my family. I need to be philanthropic. Oh, heck, I still got a whole bunch left over. Well, okay, I'll build a library or something. I mean, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's when they use the force of government or coercion or fraud to get it. How they get it, if they do it justly, man, you could be freaking Bill Gates for all I care. Then you start using it for evil things, you know, that'd be a problem. But, you know, if you want to accumulate enormous amounts of wealth, it's not mine. Keep, knock yourself out. But I'll tell you one thing, and this is where the left kind of comes in. They got this concept of social justice. It's just wrong that this one person has so much and he doesn't share with the rest. You know, so that is throughout history. should be addressed by these people. That's where you become a good neighbor. That's where you get the PR firm going telling you how great and wonderful you are because you got Motorola employees wearing Motorola shirts out in lettuce fields picking for homeless kind of stuff. But then you find out that they're doing kind of seeding into the public because they got a big trial coming up and they want to make sure the jury's influenced by how what great, wonderful, you know, humanitarian corporate citizens they are. There's always a reason, you know. So it's fine acting in their self-interest, whatever. But when you're using force and fraud to take and accumulate, well, a lot of times it's not necessarily the accumulation. I mean, you go, God, what is enough? It's not the amount that they have. It's the power that they wield. They're just jacked up in the head. I'll give you an example. Today on Freedom's Phoenix, we had a story that I just, like everything else that we put up. I mean, it's just this stuff just is a deluge that comes over us. And we'll get to the Arizona Breakfast Club information on the mortgages and the markets and how the subsidies in the housing and how that's being manipulated and all that kind of stuff at the bottom of the hour. Because there's a long 18-minute segment in there that we can talk about, and I don't want to chop it up. So we'll kind of build up to it. You know, I'll get to a pinky swear, all right? But, you know, I want to talk about just some of the stuff on Freedom's Phoenix today. Surveillance will expand to Midtown. Okay, now this is Bloomberg talking in New York Times. We live in, this quote from Bloomberg, we live in a world where we have to have a balance. We can't just say everybody can go every place and do anything they want. So we must surveil everybody. Okay, so I'm just going, are you serious? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, go every place, do anything they want. No, can't have that. So they're advocating this surveillance that will expand all because why is this an important thing to him? Well, you know, maybe two things. One, he feels insecure. And he should. And you got the We Are Change guys in his face all the time. So he's like, well, if they're surveilling me, I want to surveil everybody else. Dang it. You know, I want to. So it's for whatever motivation he has, and they're afraid. They want to be able to keep track of everybody for everything, doing anything, because they can. I mean, you know, they just got to justify it, and it's because they love us. I mean, really? I mean, it's because they love us? So I'm going, all right, not a surprise. You know, what else we got going on? Well, we have a lot of, we've been really focusing a lot, and a lot of the editors have been, the writers have been focusing on the flu shot thing, because it's coming, and they're going to be real forceful about it. Now, I talked to the Confrontation Prevention Squad, you know, the public relations guys at the Phoenix Police Department. And same people that I deal with when we were doing the Obama thing and so on. And I go, look, we have testimony. We have YouTube's up. 4409 interviewed a woman, talked to a policeman that told her that they are going to be part of a required vaccinations for people. Well, you know, it's almost like a psyop. They'll say that maybe that won't be it initially. What happens is that they're going to require first responders to get the shot. And he was detailing to me, you know, the list. Police officers, firemen, doctors, nurses, teachers, okay? And the way he worded it, well, the federal government has, you know, promoted the concept of first response, promoted, okay? I want to know how they promoted this. Is it through coercion, force, fraud? You know, what are they saying? How they, do these people know? Well, what happened was Jet Lacey, Donna's in the control room today. Hello, Donna. Now, she is going to be there for a couple of weeks because Jet went back to New York. He's going to a wedding and got him back there, and he's going to do some reporting going into New York, and they are forcing their medical, I don't know what level. I'm sure it's at least doctors and nurses. Now, he is a nurse. His wife's a nurse. And he is going back there, talk to some people that he knows in the profession because they used to live back there, and say, you know, what up with this? What's the law? How are they coercing you? What are they saying? You know, let's take a look at the little details. Because he and Drew did something, I think it was Friday. Sorry, we got a cough. Now, what happened is he had a camera. They went down to Walgreens, and they went to four different ones. And they asked, because Jet knows that when you get these vials, they come in a case. It's not just one at a time. They'll come in a case of however many, a dozen, two dozen, whatever it is. And he takes inside there, it's like this tissue paper, you know, 2-inch square thing that unfolds into a poster. You know, that really small print kind of stuff that they send with some medications and so on. In fact, they need that much room. It's like Bible paper, you know. I mean, they really need to put a lot of stuff on there. I don't want to pay for $5 trillion it takes to ship it. So they have this tissue paper thing that they fold out. So he goes up and he says, look, you know, I'm a nurse. I know you have this. You know, when you opened that box, there was a little piece of paper in there that folded out. You know, before I go get my shot and pay my $24.99, they got signs and billboards everywhere. They got direct mail as come in my mail. Get your Walgreens $24.99. We're gonna poison you. I mean, inoculate you against whatever for only $24.99. We're gonna mess up the rest of your life. I mean, stop you from getting the flu. Okay. So I'm going $24.99. So they go down, say, okay, I'm at $24.99. Where is the information sheet on it? You know what they told them? You're going to have to wait till I come back to tell you what they told them. Ah, I'm so mean. But I want to tell you, get enough time to detail the communication they had with each of the four places. I mean, it's, wow, it just dovetails into all the other stuff we're going to talk about. It's all connected. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence and Me.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies, your soul.
Yeah, we want to break free here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day at 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Central Time on RBN Network from Phoenix, Arizona, and the Freedoms, with an S, Phoenix.com Studios. Now, I wanted to finish up on this Walgreens thing. Jet and Drew went down with a video camera, and they'll have some stuff up there working on it now, and it's some other things. And they said, we know that these vials of vaccine come with a warning poster folded up in there. Jet, you know, wanted this. He goes, oh, I just want to see it. And they call it the blah, 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 whatever it is. They call it. And he goes, you know, I want to see that. Well, some people don't even know what he's talking about, you know. Oh, yeah, we threw that away. You know, came in, yeah, there's a piece of paper. They just threw it in trash. Or that was one of them. And another one, well, there's no sharps or anything in this trash here, right? Well, I can just reach in there and grab them. No, you can't do that. Some of them called. They called the corporate office or managers. No, against company policy, whatever that is. Our company policy is that you're not allowed to know what we're injecting you with. I'm going, wow, seriously? So, and a lot of them, you know, one of them doesn't even know what he was talking about. So I'm just going, you know, I seriously, this is so scary. So then I get the information that they're going to, the federal government is going to persuade, what was it, promote first responders getting the injection. Now, this is going to be teachers, police, fire, and medical personnel. So I'm going promote. How might they do that? Because let me tell you what I've learned over the years. Federal government is not friendly advice. It doesn't come down to that. They're not like, oh, well, I just wanted to let you know, you know, word up. If they're telling you anything or reporting a number, that means there's a dial somewhere they think they got their access to that they're going to turn to change the number. Turn, change, churn. That's a good one. I like that. They're going to churn the numbers, okay? I just came up with a new one you got first. We're going to churn the numbers, okay, on a dial. Because what they'll do as they say, you know, so many people out of 100 get this, and so many kids in percentage of, and you know there's so many a year that die from, and this and that. And you start seeing that public service announcement, whatever, that is the beginning of a campaign for them to enact some kind of force or fraud to socially and economically engineer an individual into doing something they want, or at least the excuse for them to have some kind of coercion in your life. You have to. You're regulated. You're prevented from. That which is not required is forbidden. Or, that which is not forbidden is required. Everything. So now we have these first responders. And a lot of times they have to get law enforcement. It has to be a guy with a gun. If they have to do it, do you think they're... What's their moral hurdle in to not making you do it? I mean, that's the whole point. They're going to coerce law enforcement into it. See, didn't kill you. You know, their goal isn't to kill you. Their goal is to make you sick. They just want you to keep buying their crap. You know, watch the movie V for Vendetta. We watched it this last week. One of the young girls here that doing work on vaccines and fluoride. She's a nanny. And, oh, this is interesting. She's a nanny for an FBI agent. And they know she's got the Ron Paul stickers on and all that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, she's a terrorist, but she's good enough to watch her kid. So anyway, that's another story. So she's, you know, she's just flabbergasted all the stuff. Oh, you got to get your, did you get your injection? You got to get your injection. You'll be right. Okay, gotta get the injection. Yeah, got it. Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm just, you know, she fluffs it off, you know, whatever. Heck no. So I think she might even got the flu. She was sick there for one. She was. She goes, okay, done. I mean, seriously, because, you know, people know to take care of them. Donna, do you remember what the stuff is Keith takes every season to keep it? It's elderberry and something else.
Zantac or something like that.
Oh, it's zinc. He wants to do zinc. He doesn't do the nasal thing, but, it's zinc and elderberry and there was something else. And, you know, he's like, I never get sick. You know, and a lot of times we do, when we go someplace, you know, we amp up on whatever. I start to feel, you know, just a little tick. I go in and I get liquid C. And like Donna will go buy me like a 12-ounce bottle of liquid C. And I'm just, you know, like drinking lemon juice or something. You know, I'm, you know, down in that all day, whatever. And, you know, the symptoms never last more than a couple of days. I can't remember being sick more than 3 days, you know, in a row for like... Ever. I'm sorry, what?
You haven't been sick that long since we've been married, 25 years, so...
I just don't get sick, because when I start getting sick... Let me tell you what I learned in high school. I was a kid. I, you know, kind of knew this vitamin C thing, all right? I was a big orange juice fan anyway. So, whenever I started to get sick, I just OD'd on vitamin C. I mean, there was no limit. You know, how many can I take? Because it's water soluble. It goes, I'm sure somebody will complain and whine about there's something wrong with it. But the point is that I understood it was like gasoline for your white blood cells, you know? It's like, you know, we're going to go fight something. Boy, gee, I wish I had some energy. You know, see, vitamin C just, you know, just amps up your immune system. Well, then as we go through time, we find out there's other things that do that too, like zinc and some other stuff. That's why I think the government was really trying to get hold of supplements in the mid-90s. You're staying well. You're not allowed to be well. Dang it. Why? Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. We'll see you in a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back here in the saddle again on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day. And, you know, am I short of stuff to say? I don't think so. You go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I could just do a show all day on each one of these headlines. It's the most amazing thing what's going on out here. A lot of people, think, how can you be sane, and go through all this stuff? Well, that's what senior editors are for. Kyle Gamble, you know, make sure it gets all done right and sent out and dispatch and so on. But I'll tell you, on the weekends, when I go and I catch through this stuff, I'll read everything, at least go through the headlines, see what's going on, everybody's putting up, and what's, and I just, so what do? I'll sit there, I guess it was yesterday afternoon, Donna was off doing real estate stuff, we'll talk about that in a little bit too, and I'm at home for probably 4, 5, 6 hours, just going through all of the good news. And where do you go for that? You go to, you know, technology review from MIT, all the new stuff coming out and energy and everything. Popular sciences, you know, has, you know, what's new. You have different biomed information. We have stuff. If you go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see the search option and the horizontal navigation bar. So you hit search and it brings a drop down, search by keyword and so on. Then right below that, it says media news. Well, this is just a lot of the places that we go to go get, you know, I give it to you. Here, you go look. You know, like so. Now, TED, is ideas worth spreading, high-tech presentations, is a speaking tour that they do with people. And anybody can submit, too. Say, hey, man, I'm pretty smart. You know, have me go up there. You know, I may send them something one time. But the thing is that they'll have guys like Bert Rattan, you know, doing the space thing. Oh, we'll talk about that, too. Oh, that's taken off. We have a lot of people in technology and medicine and high-tech computer stuff. And they'll get up and they'll say, this is the future. And they're talking about, they are right now, they're growing tracheas of people with their own stem cells, growing entire bladders, grow them in a Petri dish and implant them there. You have a bladder now. You don't have to have a bag walking around. You got your own bladder. Grown from your own cells. There's no rejection. And they take them from skin cells now. You don't even have to do this fetus thing or offspring or any of that stuff. It's your own, you know, scrape off some of your skin, you know, boom, done. You know, how amazing is that? Today we have information up there about a new capacitor battery. And I tell you how big this is. A capacitor works kind of like a coil on your car. It'll hold a really big charge, and then boom, makes a big spark, high volt, bam. Because they couldn't really control it, you know, how much they could just give a full discharge. Well, if you could structure it in such a way, and you wrap, and you have real dense, you know, particles, and now they're getting like nano-sized particles, it's like carbon filter or something. You put big giant lumps of charcoal in a bucket and pour water through it, and it just go out the bottom. It didn't filter it that much. But if you crush up the charcoal, get to the carbon, you know, or coal, you crush up that charcoal, and you got this carbon filter, and you know, and it's all nano size. Well, I mean, you get lots of filtering. Oh, you got a lot of surface area, acres and acres of surface area. So that's what they're doing. These capacitors, they're creating in such a way that they can get a full charge instant. You plug it in for 5 seconds, and it runs your cell phone for 3 months. You think I'm kidding? This is happening now, and they're going to be doing it with cars. Let me tell you how much this is. You will take an 18-wheeler truck that would normally put in a bunch of fuel, like a gas tanker, that would go and pull up to a factory out in the middle of the Amazon jungle or whatever and run their generator for a day or two or 5 or 10 or a month or depending on how big the factory is, okay? So you have to have the supply. It's cheaper to just bring in the tankers than it is to run electrical cable. What happens if you have a cube, a capacitor that's charged at a power plant, and it's put on an 18-wheeler and shipped, and it runs the factory for a year? A big, giant battery. Do you understand the world-changing aspect of this technology? This is where we're going. So when I put this stuff up, I go, you know, I want to feel better about what's coming. Let's go and show what the advances are in medicine, in technology, in computers, in how we're going to be able to have higher quality of living. But it's all in competition at the same time with the big bad guys that want to take it. They want to prevent it. They want to hold it off. They want to control it. They want to tax it. They want to whatever it. You know, but you know, they're in competition with other countries around the world. Where do you think a lot of the innovation is moving out of the United States and going to countries like India? China. They'll come over and get educated. We're going to go over China and do it because we're more free. Seriously? I mean, that's what's happening. So you go to the media news list here, and you got things like, MIT. You know, we have, like Prison Planet or InfoWars and Raw Story and Daily Show, Wired Magazine. We even put all the left stuff up there, too. Go take a look. Yeah, whatever what they got to say. You know, Huffington Post, you know, Drudge Report, Lou Rockwell, Popular Science, you know, Biomedicine, United Press International, Space.com. Oh, space. They are near completion. It's going to be soon. They're going to have Spaceship Two up. They're going to be doing tourism in the space. They already have it sold out for, you know, like years. You know, $100,000, $200,000 a whack. Yeah, I got that much. Let's go space. And they sold the Mir space station to a private investor. You know, what happened to Skylab? It burned up in the atmosphere and spewed all over Australia. But the Mir space station, the Russians go, we'll sell it. How much you got? Okay, it's yours. Cool. One less thing for us to worry about. And now they have two private space stations in orbit, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, done by Bigelow Aerospace, which is the owner of that, is the guy that owns Budget Suites out of Las Vegas. He said, design me an enclosed habitat that can go, and they send it up on a Russian rocket that's in its like second year almost, done over 10, 20,000 orbits, and you never heard a word about it. Why? Why? They want to strip the next generation of imagination. They want anything. You're going to space without government? Well, that's so not allowed. You know, they had a quote in the article that we put up on the next stage that they're going in on Spaceship Two, because they're building a spaceport in New Mexico. Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of the fact that the state of New Mexico subsidized part of it and all that kind of crap, but a spaceport in New Mexico right now. They're going to be launching from there. They already did contracts that they're going from, I think it's Finland, they're going to be doing tours, or Sweden. They're going up to see the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis, from space. How cool is that? You get to see the circle. You just don't get to see lights. You get to look down on this halo at the top of the world. I mean, what's that ticket worth if you got umpteen gazillion dollars and don't know what to do with it? You know, I'll do that one. Here, it cost me, like nothing. How much I make in interest in 1 year on one, investment. Okay, I'm good. Sign me up. We're going to have some fun. Take my kids with me. So this is where we're going. It's just like, airplanes were when they first started. You took a Pan Am flight going in the big seaplanes, you land on water going, like Indiana Jones, he's flying across the ocean. Amelia Earhart kind of thing. Yeah, I bet that was pretty dang expensive. Maybe we'll take a boat and steerage. But, what it cost for boat and steerage back then, heck, man, you'd be going to the moon someday. In terms of man hours that you had to work to sustain that kind of purchase. So I'm just going that we would be the Jetsons right now. In fact, I think the cartoon The Jetsons that was done, I think, in the 60s, they were thinking by in mid-80s, that's what we were going to be living like. That was the concept. Why haven't we? Why aren't we? Are we going to bypass it? I think so. I don't see why not. There are going to be developing countries that will just do, but they have to be able to defend against a repressive, all-encompassing financial, banking, military, political, persuasion, scumbag, corrupt system of suppression of Uber guys. We gotta shed this. We gotta get it off of us. Now, the one thing I wanted to finish up on the Phoenix police thing is we're going to do a campaign. We've been talking about it for since I learned about this. What if we do kind of the the banner signs that we can that magically appear all over the valley in Arizona, and you're encouraged to do it. That's one thing I get a lot of times. They'll say you focus too much on Arizona. You need to make it more of a national thing. What, am I going to have a national movement? I'm going to get national activism that's going to spring up. It has to start somewhere. It has to be effective. You got to do it right where you are. And I am just inspiration showing you that, yes, you can do it. Yes, it's not that hard. Yes, it has an effect. Yes, it's on YouTube. Yes, it's on the media here. Yes, they do articles. Yes, yes. The answer is yes. I'm not waiting on you. I'm like, what was it? I'm waiting on you now. Whenever you hear me say that, I'm like, I'm waiting on you now. for you to do it. I'm here just showing you that you can do it. That's what this is all about. That's what Freedom Phoenix is about. It's about us inspiring people. How do you think this revolution thing got going? Somebody had to start it. Somebody had to show that it could be done. Somebody had to stand up to the man without asking for a permit. Somebody. Is it you? Get your butt on the radio, man. Let's go. Let's talk about it. Word up, man. Let's do it. No, waiting on you now. So my thing is about I am very much focused on where I am as inspiration for you. You want to bring in other stuff, call in, man. Let's do it. 800-313-9443. That's your chance. What are you doing? We are at the Breakfast Club. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're at the Breakfast Club, and so a lot of people had questions. They wanted to keep interrupting. We had to go on, keep continuing. We had a lot of other information to get to. And I'm going, look, if you're not talking about something you're going to do about it, if you're not having an idea that you want to present, that's something that you're willing to, all this, if it's another you should, and it's not you're in charge of the you should, put your hand down. They all go down. We're activists. We're not there to talk about it. We're here to do it. Who does it first? Well, let me tell you what we're doing. If you have a police officer that was coerced into taking a life-threatening injection, what's to stop him from forcing you to do it? I had to. SOB, you got to. So what if we go out and we advocate that they don't have to? Save the first responders. Love, hug a policeman, don't let them get the shot. Don't make them have to take the shot. Don't let the teachers have to take the shot. I don't want them to get the shot and infect my kids. I don't want them to take the shot and be stupider. The 2 + 2 is, what is it, class? I mean, I don't need this. So if we go out and we go after protecting them, they're far more likely to protect us. So we're going to start this campaign. We're going to see, there might be 100 law enforcement that go, amen, brother. I want to join a lawsuit or something. Don't make me do that. What's going to happen with it? I don't know. But it doesn't happen until you show public support for the defense of them getting to maintain the sanctity of their skin. I mean, inside their body, they have any kind of property right. Does the government, what is it, like the military? Your government issue now? Your G.I. Joe? So I'm just, wow. I mean, seriously, this is a major concern. So how do you attack it? Well, I defend against the guys that they had to take it and they're going to get me. Let's go help them. Let's go defend them. See which one of them want us to have this. I'll be talking to, I got the name, James Holmes is one of the names. There's another one, too. That's a public information officer with the Phoenix Police Department. I'll be calling. And I got the information from one of the other guys I know at the police department. So we're going to be talking to them and seeing how they want to do this. They want to help. They're going to, what's the actual policy? What's the persuasion? What happens to that one officer that refuses to take the shot? I said, I don't know who's, it's voluntary, fine. Well, that one guy that isn't voluntary, we're there for him. How do we get a hold of them? How do we find out who it is? How do we let them know, you're not going to help us? Okay, fine. How will a few hundred 4x8 banners on freeway overpasses do you? Do you want to play? Let's play. But am I going to wait on Portland, Washington, D.C., New York City, Atlanta, Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, Albuquerque? Who do I got to wait on? Are we got to do it all at the same time? No, you just do it. I'm not waiting on you. Should I tell you about what we're doing here? Should I share it with you? Should I inspire you? If you're not being inspired, that was the whole point of the For Liberty movie, is that all these other candidates, they wish they had this kind of energy. They try and organize it. They try and, manufacture it. They try and package it. They sure as heck try and pretend it's there. But you don't get it unless you inspire people to do it. And this message of freedom is very inspirational. And we had a guy like Dr. Paul that stayed true to the message for decades, not only as a man and a human being and an individual and a father and a doctor and a husband, but as a congressman. How in the heck did that happen? You know, I'll tell you how it happened. It's real simple. Because there is always the one. You have enough people, you have enough variables thrown into the mix, I guarantee you, there's always the one. The rest of the show, I want to focus on what we learned at the Breakfast Club. And I apologize, I went long in here. It'd be a short segment, but we'll get into it, you know, the rest of the show and next hour. Because I learned something from Tom Westbrook. He called it on the show. He put an article up about the Kansas Supreme Court decision about, because I wondered, I'm going, how in the heck did this decision even get out there to say that MERS, this mortgage electronic recording or registering service or whatever it is, that they don't have standing to foreclose, and there are like 60 million mortgages out there now. You know, then how do you foreclose? Who does? I mean, you know, and then it's you start finding there's a link with, you know, Freddie and Fannie and the government thing, and I'm going, wow, what is the deal here? How do you unwind this thing? Was it intentional? What's the end game on this? Because the Tea Party I spoke at in Northern Arizona. I made kind of one insightful comment I think kind of covers it. I go, look, I just tell you this. The third act of this play, it's already written. They already know it's done. We're well into the second here, but and there's dots that connect, you know, to get to that third act. You know, how do we get there? I don't know. But we're going to get there. It's already written. How do you protect yourself? Can you? Have you been listening to what's been going on for the past decade? And what can you do now if you haven't? We'll talk about more when we come back, because the end is nigh. But we're one day closer to freedom. I'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, the one thing that right now I'm trying to get the direct line into Public Information Officer of Phoenix Police. I'm going to be trying to get hold of them before the end of the show. Of course, I'll have time after the show. But today, I wanted to make sure we at least made contact that we're going to get to have a meeting of minds, you know, because, I mean, you know, what are they going to do? You know, you can't. I love it when they do that. But we'll work it out, and I'll keep you guys abreast of what's happening, because it's now. I mean, it's not later. I mean, they're doing this stuff now. We started getting nippy weather here. It's time. You know, ooh, I feel a little chill. Give me a shot. You know, a lot of people do it regularly. You know, we have family members, you know, that on both sides of our family, man, they're lining up. Ooh, Tom, did you get your flu shot? I'm like, are you serious? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was only sick a few days, you know, last year. I go, I was sick none. You know, when did that happen? Well, you know, after your shot. I mean, wow. Plus, you get all the crap that's in it. So we're sitting at the Arizona Breakfast Club, and there's something that I wanted to make sure we had understood. Tom Westbrook is a man here who's a big sign production in the revolution. And he's Mormon. Has a very large extended family. He and his wife, they live in Mesa. And his whole family, man, they were for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, the Mormon. Got to go Mitt Romney. And he was like the black sheep of the whole thing, saying, no. All of a sudden, he's a hero now, I'll tell you that. So, and that happened to a lot of people supporting Dr. Paul, is it was so obvious to us what was coming and what was going to happen. And we're just like, yeah, we can wait, because we knew it was going to happen. Well, it happened. Now what? And also, they go, well, you know, maybe improve our ratings if we aren't so mean to them. And we sure as heck hate having all those, you know, Paulistas calling and bugging the crap out of us. So maybe we'll be nice. You know, you looked at it was interesting when you saw the movie For Liberty that there was quite a bit of Glenn Beck in there, you know, calling us terrorists and all kinds of stuff. You know, towards the end of the campaign, now all of a sudden, you know, he's head of Tea Party. Yeah. Oh, it's all good. You know, when we had the Tea Party thing where they raised, you know, $10 million or whatever it was. I mean, for, you know, we did the 5th of July thing. Remember the 5th of November. And then right after that was the Tea Party, you know, like a month later. So we have the Tea Party raises another, you know, gazillions of dollars, the most ever raised in a day of any presidential candidate. And they didn't care about, you know, the ideas or freedom. They just cared about the fact that he raised all this money. Why? Might be because some people supported that message. So you have Glenn Beck now, 180 degrees. Oh, no, I'm for freedom. Yeah, and you're on Fox? Seriously? I mean, think about it. Do you have Glenn Beck? I mean, I didn't even look. I don't even know. You know, he's for doing away with the federal government imposing will on individuals and individual states. Is he for elimination of, 15 gazillion different programs and the IRS and the this and the that and even the Fed? The elimination and replacing with no central control? Is he doing that? Because if he is, I guarantee he won't be on Fox much longer. You know, I mean, so this is, it's controlled opposition. You know, let's get the Republicans back in the plantation. You know, we know this. And that's why you always have the joke, what's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? And the answer is about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention. And the reason is you have to go through like 3 election cycles. Well, these young kids have gone through one. And you have this one kid, 14 years old, speaking, Drew just put it up. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, you'll see it up there. This 14-year-old kid, they were censoring him for wearing a 9/11 shirt to school. Couldn't be in the yearbook, couldn't that. And he became an activist. You know, there's a always blowback. Well, there's lots of blowback going. And we're outside of the controlled media. You get uncontrolled. We'll be back in just a little bit.